Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and just a delight and joy to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the world. Be going to your calls in just a moment, but I want to reminisce for just a moment on something I heard Oz Guinness talk about, and that is the fact that all civilizations, whatever their momentary grandeur, have an ultimate flimsiness that is paper thin. So take Washington, D.C. If you view Washington, D.C. from the heights of the Capitol Hill, and then ponder the lessons of the statues and the symbols and the sayings, the self-proclaimed capital of the free world shows off nothing but an absolute assuredness that we're going to be around here forever. And yet, view Rome from the Palatine Hill. And when you do that, the lesson is starkly different, because lying there before your eyes in the Eternal City, as it was known, are the vestiges of long-gone kings, the remains of a once proud republic, the bleached stone bones of an empire that strode the world of its time like a colossus. And even the scattered remnants of the Egyptian and Greek civilizations that preceded Rome. Little wonder, then, that when you see that before your eyes, you recognize immediately what a fragile thing that civilization is and how near we are to losing our inheritance even as I speak. We're facing an increasingly totalitarian philosophy and some strategies of illiberal liberalism. The self-destructive cultural chaos of the West's own chosen ideas and lifestyles, which, no mistake about it, are destroying its identity and sapping its former strength. And who is there that can stand in the gap? But people just like you, just like me, that know what it is to stand for life and truth, recognizing that it not only matters for time, but also matters for eternity. There's so much to be done and so much we can do, and so often we perceive that because we can't do everything, therefore we can do nothing. All of us can do something, and all of us must do something. There's a great resurgence of Christianity in the global South. A lot of people being evangelized, but there's no accompanying teaching and discipleship, at least not enough to keep people there from being mere tumbleweed Christians. And then there is the great task of winning back the West. That's not going to be done by a politician. That's going to be done by people just like you and me, willing to stand for truth no matter what the cost. And that's, again, why I invite people to support this ministry, to stand with us prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI, and always we have available for you resources that will equip you in the process, because that's our goal. Not only for you to support the ministry so that we can make a difference around the world, but so that you yourself can become equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Check out the resources available on the web, equip.org. A lot of you hanging on right to the phone lines. John, Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, John.
Hey, Hank. How's everything going today?
Doing well, thank you.
I appreciate you taking my call. My question is regarding the Old Testament manuscript evidences that we have, mostly just regarding the Masoretic text that we usually use in most of our standard Bibles today and the Septuagint. My question was, do the differences that lie between the Masoretic text and the Septuagint text, does the central teaching of the Hebrew text change in any way with the variances, or are they more just numbers, spellings, those type of variances?
Yeah, there are very, very minor differences. And you think about the fact that the Dead Sea Scrolls actually predate the Masoretic text by 1,000 years. And today we have the liberty, at the push of a 21st century mouse, to check the differences between that of the Masoretic text and the Dead Sea Scrolls. And we find that the differences are minuscule. We have found through the Dead Sea Scrolls some differences. The height of Goliath has been augmented very greatly by the Dead Sea Scrolls. We also have found further information on who Melchizedek is as a result of the Dead Sea Scrolls. But there's nothing substantive in faith and practice that has changed in any way whatsoever by the earlier extant texts. In fact, if you think about how the text came about to begin with, there was a very tedious process of hand copying the Old Testament missive, letter by letter by letter. No letter could be inscribed without looking back at it and then verbalizing the text. They had sophers, literally counters. Ezra, by the way, was one of them. He was the Michael Jordan of scribes. And what they would do is they would tally the words and the letters to make certain that nothing was amiss. And then they were aware of the middle letter, of the middle word of the manuscript, so they would have an enduring reference point by which to make certain that not a jot was found missing. And then you had to even allow for a prescribed number of letters and words in each column. And even if the most exalted dignitary would address you in the process of your job, you would ignore him because they were absolutely committed to the idea that they were in the service of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and therefore the task at hand was far more important than any kind of an intrusion might be. So I think that process alone ought to give us real confidence that what we have with respect to the Old Testament text corresponds to reality. Now, I mentioned on the broadcast in response to a question that there are copyist errors, and we're still aware of them. You can find one number, for example, in Kings, another number in Chronicles, and I think the only thing you can ultimately ascribe that to is a copyist error. But even there, you can get back to the autographa by means of some of the textual evidence that we have available to us today, textual evidence to which you alluded and textual evidence that I brought up as well when I brought up the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much, Hank, for answering my call. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Kevin in Dana Point, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call and the question in reference to what the Bible says about leaving an inheritance behind for your children. And I thought, who better to ask than a godly man like yourself who's got 12 kids and knows the Bible no better than any other. Just in a nutshell, I've been in marriage counseling with my wife, and my wife had brought up the fact that I have a life insurance policy that's divided between her and my biological daughter, her stepdaughter. She brought up the fact that she wants to have 100% of that inheritance. And to my surprise, the counselor had agreed to her as well. So I was calling to find out what your thoughts on that would be.
Well, I don't know that I'm going to be the expert in answering the question for you, but I do think that the principle is valid because the principle that you enunciated is a principle that comes from Scripture. And I think that inheritance, of course, is not just an inheritance of money, it's an inheritance of time and talent as well. So you are developing through time the talents of your children so they have an inheritance that continues on. as a result of them using their gifting. But certainly, I can't imagine a mother genuinely loving their children and not wanting their children to be provided for as well, not in a way that's detrimental to the child. When you live in a culture in which everything is given to you, oftentimes that can be more detrimental because then you're not going to work as hard in terms of working out your talents, the talents that God has given you. So the welfare state, whether it comes through an inheritance or through the state, can often be very, very deflective in terms of a person maximizing their abilities. But certainly, I don't think that there's any reason whatsoever that we should not want to provide for our children just as we'd want to provide for our spouse.
Okay. Thank you very much for clearing that up. I greatly appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Be right back with more answers to your questions.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Endless predictions about end-time events and published timetables counting down the end have proven to be wrong 100% of the time. When doomsday predictions fail, there is double-duty damage. Many theologically juvenile and scripturally superficial Christians abandon the faith as a result of these failed predictions, and the public image of Christianity is damaged, making Christians appear to be hopelessly naive and easily duped biblical bumpkins. Hank Hanegraaff's book, Prophetic Stars in the Constellation of Biblical Prophecy, will equip you not only to interpret biblical prophecy correctly, but to remember it as well. To receive your copy of Prophetic Stars as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Talk to Thomas. He's listening in Cary, North Carolina. Hi, Thomas.
How you doing, Hank? Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I was reading through my Bible the other day, and I came across Mark 2:22 about the wine and the old wineskins.
Yeah.
And it says bottles instead of wineskins, and I have a King James. And I just don't remember, when did they make that change? I don't remember ever seeing bottles.
Well, I don't remember that at all in any version of the Bible. I'm not saying it's not there, but I don't remember it. But I do remember the basic idea, the new wine of the kingdom. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for if you do, the patch is going to pull away from the garment, and the tear that was there is going to be even worse than it was before. And then there's a corollary there to that same idea, which is, nor would they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins would burst. And of course, the wine would be spilled and wasted, and the wineskins themselves would be ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both, therefore, are preserved. And of course, there's a lesson for kingdom purposes. The old garment and the old wineskins were emblematic of the old covenant and the law. They were imperfect. They were temporary. The civil and ceremonial laws pointed to Jesus Christ and were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The new wineskins were emblematic of the new covenant. And those who are in Jesus Christ, the exemplar of the new covenant. The new wine, therefore, is the spirit that dwells within those who have been renewed by the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that can never be constrained in any way by the old precepts of the law. So there's a purpose for the metaphor, and I don't know that bottles would work very well with the metaphor. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Cody in Amarillo, Texas. Hi.
Hi, Hank. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been working on my relationship with God for about the last couple of years. I'm really wanting to dive into the Bible and be able to really read into it, really study it, and guide my two little boys through it. I'm not real sure where to start. I'm kind of wondering about a reading plan that you might recommend, or, you know, some books to kind of help guide me through it, or anything that you can recommend to help me get started on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I developed what I call a legacy reading plan, and you can find it on the web at equip.org. And I thought about this long and hard when I was putting it together. The overarching objective of the plan is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. And so what I did is I took the reading calendar and I segmented it into seasons and the seasons into months. So at the beginning of every new year, you know that during the winter, your focus will be on the Pentateuch and poetry. It happens to be something that works out very nice numerically, by the way. It's 249 chapters. And then in the spring, you have the historical books, which is also 249 chapters. And in the summer, you have the prophets, which is only one chapter more, 250 chapters. And then during the fall, the New Testament, which is right around the same number, 260 chapters. So each season, then, I further break down into months. And therefore, every January, your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus. Then every December, for example, the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And there are times with this reading plan that you'll naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and others when you'll read just one or two. But more importantly, you will read through the Bible just as you read through other literature. So it's not artificial. It is very much commensurate with the manner in which we read in general.
All right. You said that was a legacy reading plan?
Yeah, and you can find it on the web. And we can also, if you want to hang on, we can send you a copy of it. I think we've got some extra copies laying around here somewhere.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, that would be great. I would really appreciate that.
Cool. Yeah, I thought about this long and hard. One of the goals was to develop something that was really unique, but not just unique for the sake of being unique, but unique for the sake of reading the Bible in the same way that you read other literature. And I think this is a marvelous plan. I've used it myself, and I think it's, you know, my own biased opinion, but the best plan there is.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you, sir. Love your show. Thanks for having me again.
Hey, you got it, Cody. Thank you so much for your call. Back to our phone callers, Garth next in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Garth.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so my question for you today is, I've always wanted this. In 1 Chronicles 21, when David was going to conduct the census, remember, that always really bothered me, the way that God, he seemed to overreact to David because he wanted to count his fighting men. And I'm thinking, why would God overreact that way just because he wanted to count his men? But if you go back to Exodus 30, verses 11 to 16, it basically, it's the book of the law, and it lays out the laws of the census. And there's a penalty for not conducting the census properly, which is basically a plague on the nation. So did David not know how to conduct the census properly? And, you know, it's really not his fault if he didn't have the book of the law to do it.
Actually, this is about a disposition of the heart. This gets back to the same kind of a principle you have with Cain and Abel. Why was one rejected and the other accepted? It was not because of the substance of the offering. It was because of the disposition of the heart. God knew the disposition of Abel's heart and the disposition of Cain's heart. Cain's heart was following that of the prince of deceit and lies, Satan. Abel's was one turned towards the Lord. Now, in terms of the census itself, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is a very important lesson. What is behind this and the reason God's fury was as it was directly and specifically because it showed the disposition of David's heart as king of Israel. God had given him the kingdom, and now David was no longer relying upon the Lord, but rather he was relying upon his own strength. The counting of his men and his horses and his weaponry was a function of saying, how much power do I have in order to do what I'm doing by the arm of flesh? And that was the problem, and that is why God's anger burned against him, because David, whose heart had panted after God, was now panting after human power, when the ultimate answer to the kingdom was not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. In some ways, an even more egregious sin, you could say, in the big picture, than his sin with Bathsheba.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know the beauty of the wrath of God on David when he did the census was that because of that location when the angel of the Lord came on Jerusalem, that's where the actual was the place of the temple. So that's, I mean, like, out of, you know, God's wrath comes something good, you know. I can't really get my words, but do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Well,
here?
I do, and I'm just absolutely taken by what you have communicated. You're a model for all of us to follow. It's fantastic. This is the one thing I'm trying to preach all the time, is that to understand Scripture, you have to read Scripture in light of Scripture, and you've demonstrated that that is precisely what you're endeavoring to do.
Can I say one more thing before we go? And the birth of Christ, what happened at the birth of Christ? There was also a census. So, I mean, like, in the crisis, the new temple, and right, and that happened during the time of a census as well. So it kind of ties in with with God's wrath during the time of the census of David. Do you know what I'm saying? I just thought I'd bring that up as well. I just find the Bible so interesting, and I just totally recommend all your listeners that it's so important to read the Bible and just ask the Lord for just to give you the desire to read the Bible, and He will. And there will be good things coming out of that. God will bless you regarding things that you don't even ask about. He will just give you things that He thinks you need. And that's what I have to say to you, Hank.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, a great point. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Of course, the Spirit of Truth provides insights that permeate the mind, as well as illumination that penetrates the heart. And this does not supplant what you're doing, the scrupulous study of the Scriptures, but it provides us with insights that can only be spiritually discerned. I'm going to have to leave it at that because I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll be right back here tomorrow answering more questions. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.